Grace to you and peace from our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this morning is John 14. The verses are 25, 6, and 7. The theme is Jesus' promise of peace. Jesus' promise of peace. Beginning at verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This is our text. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, the words we have just heard take us back to the Thursday evening preceding the day that Jesus died. John's account of the closing hours of Christ's life is quite unlike that of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is much, much more detailed, more heartfelt, and focuses much more on the words that Jesus spoke rather than the events of the evening. He was preparing his disciples for both the tragic hour of his death and a life of ministry following his glorious resurrection. Some of the most profound and memorable passages in all of Scripture are found in the immediate context here, chapters 13 through 17. John here records the word Jesus spoke between the hours he entered the upper room, where they are now, and then his walk across the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Judas betrayed his Lord with the kiss of death. Our Lord knew his hour had come, the completion of his work on earth, his destiny as true man. Now he must leave the world and his life in the flesh, in which he had given his whole life as a living sacrifice. His work of redeeming souls lost to sin was about to be completed. His glorification would come through death, wonderfully revealed by an open tomb and the announcement by the angel, "He is not here, he is risen." But his disciples, despite the clear words of Jesus here and earlier, did not understand. They were troubled when Jesus told them that one of them would betray him. They did not fully grasp what he meant when he said he was going away. Earlier, of course, he had told them that he would die and rise again on the third day. Words, prophecy that went right over their heads. And later, when Jesus is arrested in the garden and led away, they became very fearful, in fact proven by Peter's three-time denial of even knowing Jesus. Then, of course, came that mock trial, the awful trek to Golgotha, the nailing of Jesus to the cross, his 6 hours of agony and shame, and finally his last words, "It is finished." The disciples had lost their leader. It surely seemed that all that he had tried to accomplish was lost. To say at this point that they were very troubled is no doubt an understatement. Now also, another of their own is dead because Judas Iscariot had just committed suicide. Little more is said of the 11 until after the resurrection and Jesus' unexpected appearance to them, again in the upper room. We can almost see them there, cowering in fear, confused, hurting, feeling alone, and not knowing what to do next. If only they had understood these words, words that Jesus had spoken earlier, trying to prepare them for his death. If only they had believed his loving words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus knew the horror that was coming the next day. He knew the outcome. The Son of God would rise from the grave victorious. He would conquer death, not just for himself, but for all time, for all who would believe. The destructive and damning power of evil would be forever overcome. Defeat would be turned into victory, turning the wages of sin into the reward of eternal life. And from that point forward, everyone joined with him in holy baptism would be raised to walk in the newness of life. All of this meant the true child of God could enjoy a heavenly peace even before the end of time. Jesus' promise of peace, had it been taken to heart before the crucifixion, should have filled the disciples with hope and joyful anticipation, with a foretaste of a future glory. Instead, they didn't fully grasp what he was saying. They didn't believe his plain words. They suffered the pain of loss as a result and feared for their own well-being. To the present, nothing has changed. Through a living faith in the same Jesus who died and rose again for our justification, we are his disciples today. For 2,000 years now, the promise of peace, his promise, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, has been made to the faithful. And it will stand until the trumpet sounds. Now we have a tremendous advantage over the original 12. We have seen the fulfillment of God's promise made to the devil in Genesis 3, that Jesus would crush him. We know that the grave is quite temporary, and we know that a better life awaits us. We have the testimony of the chief of sinners, Paul, and the God-breathed words of Scripture also promising, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from the consequences of sin, death, and an everlasting hell. So, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The Spirit of the living Christ, through Paul, makes the promise of peace even more profound when he adds that no power in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, might there be one among us today who is living in fear? We are far removed from the first century AD, and yet unbelief, confusion, and fear abound all across this globe. Those who don't believe in the one true God and those who do are alike caught up in the uncertainty of these latter days. For unbelievers, it may be the fear of war, even a nuclear holocaust, terrorism, political upheaval, financial ruin, hunger, disease, unemployment, old age, bad health, global warming, loss of power and fame, and certainly death itself, all of which can lead to a sense of utter hopelessness and even despair. As Scripture tells us, there is no peace for the wicked, for the unbeliever. Isaiah 48:22. We Christians face most of the same concern, don't we? But we see something even more sinister and foreboding, the decline of morality in our own country and throughout the world. Murder, including abortion, the acceptance of homosexuality as a viable lifestyle, by some even calling themselves Christians. We see greed, we see corruption and ineptitude in government, and policies that favor the undeserving at the expense of citizens who obey the laws. Throughout Christendom, Orthodox churches, that means right teaching churches, are in decline, in great part because our youth favor the way of the world or have gone to churches that satisfy the flesh rather than nurture the soul. The red flag is up and waving. Watch out. The devil may be tempting us to ignore Jesus' comforting words and worry, become confused, depressed, maybe even lose faith. The last thing Satan wants is for any of us to take to heart the precious words of our text, Jesus' promise of peace. The devil does not want us to have peace. Who are we going to listen to? Now, we have heard repeatedly that because Jesus was raised from the dead, the power of the grave has been canceled, right? Through faith in him, we too will come back to a life in glory after we die. That for us removes the greatest fear, the fear of death. But how does that help us face the problems and worries that we have today? We need to remember Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Our Lord is alive and no less a miracle worker than he was when he lived among men. With God, all things are possible. Do we really believe that? It is when we believe that he will answer our prayers in time of trouble that help will come. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That is Jesus' promise. And when he keeps his promise, the gift of peace follows. Now, let's go even deeper. We need to understand the nature of the peace that Jesus promises. The word he uses here, it's a beautiful Greek word, eirene, means out of danger, total harmony, freedom from anxiety or worry, a state of reconciliation, contentment. And all of this encompasses joy. This is a deep inner peace. In other words, peace with God. The world cannot give this kind of peace. Doesn't happen. Every problem faced by mankind has a common cause: sin. To escape the danger of hell and the fear of death, the sin must be removed. To be in harmony with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is to be reconciled to him. There cannot be any unconfessed sin. So no matter what may trouble you this morning, you can have peace if you will, from the heart, repent of sin and put your trust for all matters of faith and life completely in Jesus. Love him. Obey him. And expect him to make good on his promise of peace. Now, as you might have guessed, the ultimate way to peace comes to us through forgiveness. Jesus died and rose again so we could be forgiven our sins and have blessed peace. when our black hearts are made whiter than snow, when the scales of sin are removed from our eyes, when our first love is Almighty God, then we have the peace that Jesus promised. All hell may break loose in our personal lives or in this world, but if the living Christ is in us and our hearts are pure, we will have divine peace. And this peace will carry us through to the beginning of life in heaven. Remember, only one thing keeps us out of heaven: sin. When the sin is forgiven, washed away by the blood of the Lamb, already now we can have true heavenly peace. This is the good news that our Heavenly Father has sent the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to teach us in this sacred hour. At the heart of Jesus' promise of peace is God's steadfast love for each and every one of us, His amazing grace, His abundant mercy, His compassion. If you don't, right now, have the peace that Jesus promises, ask Him to forgive you and come into your heart. You know that little chorus? Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in to stay, come in today, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Have you prayed that prayer? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let the peace of Christ overcome your troubles and fears, and you will have a little foretaste of the glory soon to come. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through a living faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.